The Great Lakes, the Arctic and Antarctica, iconic destinations around the world. Viking offers opportunities for discovery with a shore excursion in every port. Learn more at viking.com.
It's Christmas time in Cornwall, and our trusty captain, Ross Poldark, has more than one gift to unwrap this holiday season.
I hope you will have a little love to spare.
For what?
Our child.
A new baby on the way, and a load of copper struck at last in Wheel Leisure mean brighter days for Ross and Demelza. But Demelza must first claim her proper place in Cornish society.
Damn you, Ross, for keeping this rosebud a secret.
Hardly secret, John. All the county was talking of her in June.
Yes, ma'am. People dearly love to gossip, don't they?
I'm Barrett Brontës, and this is Mining Poldark, a podcast from Masterpiece. Today, we'll look at the halfway point of this first season of the series and explore how the joys of this Christmas season might one day come to be pain points in future episodes. And I'm joined, as always, by Robin Ellis, the original Ross Poldark from the 1970s adaptation of the series. As is our habit, we're going to recap the episode in fast fashion on top, just so you can get caught up to speed.
As it opens, the snobs are snubbing. Francis is bullying. Uncle Charles is dying. And Elizabeth is playing the harp. And seemingly everyone else either waits for pilchards or mines for copper.
It's also about learning to curtsy and dance and set a proper table. Francis becomes Lord of the Manor, but has doubts about his capability to fill the role.
Ross yo-yos between what have I done and well done me.
Demelza, too, expresses strong doubts about her worthiness to be Ross's wife, and most of the world around her agrees, though Ross does his best to convince her. George is keen to get his hands on some Wheel Leisure shares. Christmas comes along with an invitation from the big house. Demelza yet again is full of fear. Ross is persuasive and she entrances. It's a beautiful episode in which Ross learns to love again.
Oh, you're right at the heart of it. And when I first watched this episode, the very first time I watched it, and we got to the end of it, he had finally said he loved her, and she was pregnant, and they'd found copper. I thought, well, okay, we're good. This is the end of the series, so I don't know what the next four episodes are going to be all about, because everything's good now. It's all wrapped up. What could possibly happen? I couldn't have been more wrong.
I mean, you know, you obviously know that this is how the first book, Ross Poldark, ends, written all the way back in 1945.
Robin, I didn't know that. That's amazing.
There is a sort of gathering through the last few pages of the book. It's beautifully done, and this is exactly what's reflected in this episode. It's an ending of some sort, but of course it's all left with a, you know, lots of possible openings.
There are so many things about this episode that are riveting, but aside from all the ups and downs of the drama, you get just such a true, true sense of the place, and you get such a sense of this small community. It's just beautiful to look at and to see these people gazing out over the cliffs, just looking for the pilchards and hoping they're going to come in, that sense of sort of desperation. So much is riding on that. But you see these views, there's sort of a moment of like mist in the field by Trenwith and the passing of the seasons. The element of nature is so strong that it's sort of like a through line in the episode while all the drama of the characters goes up and down and you have a sense that it's just been this way forever.
Yes.
Was it like that for you? Did you have an experience?
I did think it gave the impression there were about two sunsets a day in Cornwall. Every 5 minutes, there's this fantastic sunset as people, as you say, look out and search for pilchards. But it is very beautiful, and it reflects the beauty of Cornwall. I don't know whether you've been there, Barrett, have you?
No, but I have plans someday.
Oh, good.
I'll get there someday.
Well, it is really lovely. It is, as they show it, although there are bad patches of weather now and again, it is very beautiful and very rough and very wild. Mm. That ties in with the story. There is a wildness about Ross, for instance, and
yes.
You know, he reflects the landscape in many ways. You know, we're not far from Land's End. You know, we filmed actually very near Land's End, and you do get the feeling that they're out on a limb in Cornwall. You know, it's right on the southwest tip of England, and you feel that they really are far away from anywhere. But you're right, it looks absolutely gorgeous. And I'd love the frost at Christmas time.
Yeah.
The slightly sort of, ooh, it felt rather chilly, in fact, as they approached the house. And I like the fact that they actually walked from Nampara to Trenwith, which I think in the book they say is 3 miles. So gave it a sort of thoughtful feeling that they'd been through an experience of Christmas, and it had been worrying, but it finally had been a triumph. And they were able to reflect on the way back on the walk, which was lovely.
I know, and there was so much that goes on, but would it be terrible if we skipped right to Christmas first and filled in afterwards?
Okay.
I'm like a kid waiting for Christmas here. I don't know.
I'm not surprised. I mean, it's a great scene.
It certainly is. I mean, here's Demelza just so worried about how she's going to sort of perform and be perceived by Ross's relatives and this high-class community.
Mm-hmm.
The worst possible thing to happen is this horrible Ruth arrives. George and Uncle Carrie and Ruth and her new husband, they all party crash.
They do. And she's thwarted, of course, Ruth, because she'd set her sights on Ross, hadn't she? And she thought she had a good chance of capturing. And here he is, lost, basically, to her.
I know. She's not just a little bitter, is she?
She's not. She's actually very effective, isn't it, in the dinner scene where Demelza gives as good as she gets, in fact.
How do you manage for servants, Elizabeth? Mama and I were only saying, young girls these days have such ideas, always trying to rise above their station.
I haven't noticed that.
Perhaps you've been unlucky. Well, at least I have my own household. My poor sisters all lack husbands. And truly, beyond the age of 23, what hope is there?
I don't believe there's ever cause to give up hope. Tis sometimes just a question of waiting.
And seizing the opportunity when it comes. I bow before your expertise, Mum.
Remarkable, isn't it, Collie? And very cruel, and Demelza, because of her experience with Verity early on in the episode, which we can talk about, defends Verity very, very strongly. She feels extremely caring about her. They bond wonderfully, I think, and it's very believable, that bonding.
It is.
And it's the gateway for Demelza into both a more personal feeling of comfort in this new world that she's been introduced to. But Verity is the wonderful feet on the ground, and she feels Verity is the truth somehow, and she can grab onto her. And this is a different Demelza. She's not feeling well.
That's right.
She's feeling sick because she's pregnant. So she's very fearful that she's going to throw up in the middle of the dinner party and eats very little, which surprises Ross because Ross has seen her absolutely gulp down huge quantities of food.
Yes, let's take a moment to discuss that because, well, there's no bigger fan of Ross than I. I felt like a little bit of the bloom came off the rose when she had just received her dress in a box.
What's this?
It's something I ordered from town.
No, Ross. It's meant as a surprise.
It's just a family party. No need to flick yourself out for it.
I asked Verity and she said it was right to change for Christmas Eve.
Well, don't lace your stays too tight. They feed you well here. And I know your appetite.
Oh, knife in the heart. You don't say something like that to a woman, especially when she's feeling insecure.
No, I mean, he's got a bit of learning to do, hasn't he, really?
It's indefensible.
He's quite rude about her, or offhand about her earlier, not to her face, but to remember to Margaret, the good time girl earlier on.
So you love her?
We get on.
He's struggling, basically. There are a couple of lovely little, tiny little shots of Ross looking at Demelza very early on. He's on his horse. She's collecting flowers. And you see him stop on the way to Nampara. And I think he's looking at her. And then later on, he comes in and she's kneading bread. And he has a long, reflective look, and one wonders whether he's thinking, what have I done, or how lovely she is. There's a process going on in his mind, which is sort of real, really. I mean,
yes,
it's a fairly shocking thing that's happened, this sudden marriage. They've both got to get used to it, in a way.
I wonder, Robin, if we're seeing a bit of a reversal here, because in the prior episodes, we saw Demelza watching Ross from afar.
Ah.
And now we're seeing Ross looking at Demelza and contemplating who she is to him. So, and just observing the pleasure of observing this person.
It's nice.
A similar sort of reversal takes place in the episode where now Demelza is really struggling with her identity, going from servant to wife. And this episode is really in large part about that journey for her to transform. And then at the end of the episode...
Why do you think I married you?
I don't rightly know.
To satisfy an appetite. To save myself from being alone. Because it was the right thing to do.
I had few expectations. At best, you'd be a distraction. A bandage to ease a wound. But I was mistaken. You've redeemed me. I am your humble servant. And I love you.
So again, it's a wonderful full circle where he's now
the
servant.
Turn of the coin. Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like that moment was really earned.
That moment was earned. I quite agree. Yeah, it rang completely true that in a way we had to go through this episode and the doubts. And indeed, I mean, the insults that were thrown at him and her, of course, and they both had to come through this. And the great solid moral center of the episode is Verity, who quite naturally likes Demelza, sees the goodness in her, and has a kind of teacher's instinct about her, really. She says she doesn't regard Demelza as anything other than just a three-dimensional human being who will become her friend. And that's a lovely kind of anchor for the relationship and the episode.
It's so great between them, and I just know they're going to be friends forever. That's how Verity is. I mean, I want Verity as my own friend. I don't know how many people like her there are in the world. But
yeah, it's great.
That was a real high point of the episode. What were some of your other favorite parts that we had in this episode that was jam-packed with great parts?
Well, there's a marvelous moment. Ross insists that Demelza shows up at the mine and shows herself as his wife. I mean, quite naturally, you know. he wants to acknowledge her as his wife. So she turns up and she's very awkward. And Henshaw, who isn't used to being curtsied to by fine ladies, is very amused, and Ross stops her, sort of, you know, puts his arm down and just helps her out of the curtsy. And Henshaw sort of roars with laughter in a very quiet way. And it's a lovely, lovely moment, which explains an awful lot somehow. It's very short, but it just, that's the advantage of film like that. You can do that kind of thing very convincingly. And it shows them all in a good light. They know that there's a problem to be solved in a sense, but it's solvable with a good heart.
Let's take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors.
Coming up next on Masterpiece on PBS, Mr. Bates versus the Post Office continues Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, followed by the finale of Alice and Jack at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central.
Those wonderful moments of humor that you were describing, they're so small and subtle, and the way they do it, they're not making Demelza the butt of a joke at all, even though she's behaving this way because she's afraid of being perceived as putting on airs and she feels insecure and that sort of thing. But there's just the most hilarious moment that I love so much when Ross comes, the bell's ringing and everybody's rushing down to get to the shore to get the pilchards. And Ross rides up to Nampara and says, "Let's go, we gotta go now." And he says, "What is it? What is it?" She says, I worry that I don't please you. And he's looking at her with this great look of like, what? wait, what are you even talking about right now?
Yeah.
What? I have no idea. And that's, I think this is just like a great sort of gender thing.
We've got pilchards. We've got pilchards. You can't talk about that.
Yeah, I've not. And also, by the way, I've never had to encounter this in my life because I have not been married. And I've not had to consider what someone else is thinking about or how they feel in a given moment when we have to go do something else right now. It's so great. And then he just takes a second, he resets himself. But I loved that look on his face. Like, what are you even talking about? It's Pilchard's o'clock and we've got to go. It was priceless.
It is priceless, the look on his face. I remember it very well. He's completely puzzled, but he's genuinely puzzled. She doesn't know what the hell she's talking about. And then he sort of realizes, but he says, no, God, God. It's a wonderful moment. The little tiny moments of progress, in a sense, or moments that will lead to progress in the relationship.
And I do think also, Robin, that the Pilchards is one such of those moments. It is so important for them when they go down there, and they are part of the community together, and they're side by side working toward this common goal. Everybody is exuberant and filled with joy because this thing is happening. It's happening now. What they need in order to really survive the winter. And they are all hands on deck. And the fact that Ross and Demelza are together side by side, and then as people leave, they sort of, the people of the community begin to see them together.
This occupation of dealing with these millions of pilchards, a life-saving harvest of pilchards, and the joy it brings is, in a way, they're so pleased to be able to express joy, which in a sense, maybe they don't know it fully at the moment, but expresses their own feelings about each other, in a sense. You know, they're joyful with each other, but they haven't found a way of expressing it. And so this harvest, this huge harvest of these pilchards, a quarter of a million of them, which have to be collected in about 5 minutes for the community to survive, is a wonderful way of expressing their own joy of each other without really kind of even knowing that that's what it is. They needed some kind of explosion. This provided it. Explosion of joy and relief, in a sense, you know, of the tension, because it is very tenseful for them both.
Yes. I guess I have to ask before we finish up with pilchards, have you ever tried a pilchard in your days playing Ross?
Oh, I have. Starry-gazy pie is the pilchard pie, where all the little, you know, you've seen those, haven't you?
With
the pictures of the fish around the side of the pie. I must have had one of those. Mm-hmm. I love pilchards. I mean, I think they're like sardines, basically. They're more or less the same fish. I adore them, yeah. Cornwall now, of course, is famous for fish restaurants. I mean, they're all over Cornwall, and they're supplied beautifully with the local catch. I adore. I cook sardines here. They're very plentiful.
I'll put that on my to-do list when I go to Cornwall someday. Have some stargazy pie.
Stargazy pie, yep, absolutely.
All right, let's talk about this song. This is just such a big deal.
Yes, beautiful, beautiful song. And great risk, of course. But she has been practicing, hasn't she? I mean, she's very adventurous in that sense, and going into the secret room and finding the spinet or the harpsichord and finding the music and finding the song. And so she is prepared, and a tremendously brave moment.
I'd pluck a fair rose for my love. I'd pluck a red rose blowing. Love's in my heart, a trying so to prove. What your heart's knowing.
She sings it in this beautiful, natural way, which just knocks everybody out. Mm-hmm. I mean, she completely stuns everybody because they're not expecting it. They're expecting her, you know, like at the dinner table to make a fool of herself. And they're expecting, oh, wow, she's going to sing a song. This will be fun. And she comes up trumps, and it's just terrific.
In this scene, another way her singing is so powerful is that you see that it really strikes each of them. Ross is transfixed and filled with the wonder of her, but also Francis hears Demelza singing about love, and it sort of breaks into Francis a little. He's become so brittle and bitter. We have a moment of his vulnerability. Mm. And then Elizabeth also reacting to Demelza singing about love. It's an important moment for all four of them. Mm. As Demelza, you know, first she's nervous. She's not looking at anyone. And then she fixes her gaze on Ross and sings about love to Ross. And so there's that communication through their gazes. And then Francis and then Elizabeth. It's sad for those two, even though it's magical for Ross and just so vulnerable and truthful for Demelza. It's telling us a lot.
It certainly is. And it's the moment that Ross really falls in love with her, I think. She's impressed him enormously with the dress. He's stunned, really, when she walks in the room. He thinks, my word, my word, my word. And then just listening to her on various levels, listening to her sing, which he enjoys and admires and is astonished by. But then he certainly gets the vibe that everybody else is stunned. It does the trick on many levels. And it just pushes him over, I think, into, well, I do love this girl. I really do. She is something special. And there's the other one that right by her side, you know, that's the wonderful thing, that there's Elizabeth, whom he thought he was destined for. And he finds himself a changed man, in a sense. And it's a great moment, great moment. And it's through a very positive thing that Demelza does, very brave thing.
It is. But as you say, there's Elizabeth right there by her side. And buckle up, viewers, because this is not entirely resolved, right? He does love Demelza. Does that mean that this whole thing is resolved now? Sadly, no. His struggles aren't over.
I don't think his emotional struggles are over, no. His business struggles certainly aren't over.
Right. His business struggles may just be beginning. What does it mean that they've struck copper?
It means that they've gone through the iron, the thing that was really holding them up, and they've found a very rich seam of copper. But they are the producers. They're the people who dig it out. They still have to sell it, basically. Mm. And they don't control the price. So they do the hard bit. And then the difficult bit happens, which is the selling of it. And, and that is very difficult, as we will discover in future episodes.
Before we wrap up, in this episode, Ross Holdark, hero or hater?
Well, I think he's still a hero because he does the right thing by Elizabeth. But as you said early on in this chat we're having, there are some fairly shocking moments where he displays a sort of very macho kind of male thing, which isn't very attractive, really. And so one does feel that he's still got a bit of a journey to make. But
yes.
I think he ends up a hero.
Me too. One thing I like about him is that he admits when he's wrong.
He does. He's a three-dimensional character. He can eat his words. It's true. It's true.
Well, he better open wide for eating his words. Is she beautiful? In a way.
Oh, in Ross. A way. What a terrible thing to say. I mean, it's really appalling. We get on.
I'll never get over it. You and I will be talking about, like, season 5, episode 7, and I'll still be referring back to him saying to the prostitute, in a way. Yeah, she's beautiful in a way.
In a way.
Oh, no.
In a way. Yeah. Boy.
What can we expect on our next episode? I think that we can expect a christening party and a Warlegan house party. I'm expecting Andrew Blaney to sail back into the picture and for Francis to risk everything.
Yes, it becomes extremely dramatic in a very short space of time, and very entertainingly so in the next episode. Very much looking forward to discussing that with you.
Well, it's been so nice to discuss this beautiful episode that is, as you say, just all about love. And I can't wait to speak again about Poldark Season 1, Episode 5. When next we speak.
Me too, Barrett. It's been a pleasure. Look forward to it.
In the next episode of Poldark's first season, A New Daughter, A New Country Doctor, and the return of Verity's sea captain's sweetheart.
All these years I thought of none but you, hugging, waiting, in the hope that one day...
I cannot bear it, Andrew. Audrey, are we to endure it all again? The parting. The parting.
No, not the parting. I swear to you, never the parting.
That's next time on Mining Poldark. And you can join us in our rewatching adventure here on Mining Poldark by watching the entire series on PBS Passport, a new member benefit from your local PBS station. You can watch select Masterpiece titles like Poldark, Downton Abbey, or Victoria as part of the Passport experience. To learn more, visit pbs.org/getpassport. You can also follow along with us on the PBS Masterpiece Prime video channel, available as an add-on service to your Amazon Prime membership. Mining Poldark is hosted by me, Barrett Brontes, with co-host Robin Ellis. We're produced by Nick Anderson, with help from Robin Bissett. Meredith Wheeler is our field producer. Tina Toby Mack is our sound designer. Suzanne Simpson is our executive producer. The executive producer of Masterpiece is Rebecca Eaton. Sponsors for Masterpiece on PBS are Viking, Raymond James, and the Masterpiece Trust. Poldark is a Mammoth Screen production for BBC, co-produced with Masterpiece.
Masterpiece Studio is officially a Webby Awards nominee for 2024. We are honored to be considered among such talented competition, but we need your vote. Head over to vote.webbyawards.com and vote for Masterpiece Studio in the podcast section, where you'll find us listed in the general television and film category. Voting closes Thursday, April 18th, so be sure to get your vote in soon. That's vote.webbyawards.com. Thank you.